You are listening to Intrepid Healthcare's exclusive coverage of the Gulf Coast Hymns Chapter's Fall Conference. Welcome to GC3 Hymns, direct from New Orleans, Louisiana. Our coverage is brought to you by Javion, changing healthcare one prediction at a time. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Joe Lavelle.
All right, good morning and welcome back, Todd and Joe, coming to you live from New Orleans, Louisiana. Joe, we're having a great day so far. Continued amazing conversations. The things that we continue to learn and discover on this show is mind-blowing.
And we got a new topic, Todd, so I'm really looking forward to it.
It is a discussion that we don't have enough on the show, so I'm looking forward to it. Before we do that, though, Joe, a quick shout-out to our sponsor, Javion. What a great partner.
Great partner, good guys, really innovative company, and their new Rev Aegis product is really got some interesting things that they're delivering for clients on the clinical side.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Continued good stuff from Javion. All right, let's get to our next conversation. Let's say hello to our guest. Her name is Stephanie Crabb. She's a principal with Immersive. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, guys, for having me. Really am happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Thanks for carving out some valuable time to share with us. Stephanie, before we get into our conversation, do take a few quick seconds. Inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
Sure. Well, I got my start in healthcare, actually in health policy and social service administration. I have my master's degree in health policy and social work, and I started in a tertiary care hospital as a medical social worker in the early 90s, back when we still had the paper record.
Mm-hmm.
But what that has translated for me today is a real appreciation for the fact that the gaps in care and transitions and care challenges that we have today haven't changed. So I brought sort of that policy and very practical interest forward into health IT in around 2000 and did stints with companies like WebMD, the advisory board, CTG Health, and then was delighted to join Dan Rounds at Immersive here recently.
Well, speaking of Immersive, give us the 10,000-foot view. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. Immersive is a provider of healthcare data governance, management, protection, and analytics solutions to help our clients achieve the triple aim. Our goal is to help our clients do things with their data that they didn't even think were possible, to help them realize the potential of that data to outperform clinically, financially, and operationally. We have really four service areas in the information lifecycle management continuum: data governance, data management, data analytics, and data protection. And so we do a lot of assessment work in each of those areas, things like IT security risk assessments, data governance maturity assessments, data profiling, data readiness for organizations that are trying to make their data work for them. Is their data in the kind of shape that they need it to be in to be useful? Data discovery for those that still don't really even understand where all of their sensitive data is, whether that's EPHI or business confidential data. So through those assessment services, we're really looking to establish and confirm a trusted baseline for them in whichever area, in whatever domain that is that they're looking at.
Stephanie, I heard you say triple aim. What is that and what does it mean for us?
Well, you know, the triple aim has been a super motivating force, you know, in healthcare to reduce cost, improve the quality of care, improve the patient experience, improve the experience for providers. And to me, it's sort of the holy grail of what's motivating the things that we are doing in healthcare. These are the values that I think every provider has, every clinician has, every administrator has in our industry, really though coalescing under a framework and a model that can be adopted and implemented across the industry by every participant.
Great. Boy, one of the biggest problems in life is not knowing what you don't know, right? And I'm struck by your comment that there are things with data that people didn't know or didn't think was possible. What are some of those?
Well, you know, what's amazing to me is the fact that we are capturing so many discrete elements of data within our health information systems. And there's so few people that really understand how to associate those discrete elements together. We have these silos of very talented people who know their application very well, and we have these clinicians that absolutely appreciate what the challenges and opportunities are to improve care. But the data and the processes and the people don't always connect. And so for us, it's about that big reveal around the data. Not only the data they have, but the quality of that data. Is that data complete? Is that data set accurate? Is that data set available to decision makers when it needs to be? That combined now with this incredible wave of external data now that we're going to be seeing from wearables, from other inputs from the medical neighborhood. The deluge and what that can tell us about not only an individual, but about populations. It's powerful stuff. I mean, these were the beginnings of my public health career, and public health has been doing this work for a long, long time, coalescing this data in a way to move populations. And we're just now starting to see some of those principles and practices come into the mainstream healthcare provider care delivery system that is outside of the public health system.
Sounds like you've developed a lot of this experience and knowledge through your work in risk assessments and really understanding how people are using their data. What other observations do you have as a result of helping people through their audits or failed audits or preparing for audits?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. You know, I have been dedicated in the privacy and security space for about the last 10 years. And so I've seen a lot of iterations of this, and we've seen this in our company. And the first thing, the first observation from the OCR with the HIPAA audit program phase one was that organizations were not completing thorough risk assessment. And it really starts with one fundamental flaw that we've seen over and over again, time after time, and that is that organizations fail to do an accurate EPHI data inventory. You can't protect what you don't know. You can't protect what you don't know you have. And so it's simply not good enough now in this day and age, as we're coming into 2015, to have a list or an Excel spreadsheet that has your applications that contain EPHI listed. Because we know that EPHI exists in so many places, and that discovery has to be more thorough. It has to be more investigative. It has to be more complete. So, you know, one of the opportunity areas is to use data discovery and a data inventory at that principal point of risk assessment to not only feed downstream risk assessment to make people appreciate and refine and better their controls, but it also feeds into this requirement that we have today for data governance. It all starts with understanding what you have, what's valuable, and what you need to protect, and what you intend to use. And so for us today, our framework, which is called Oculus, is a framework that marries data governance principles to information risk management. And what we've heard from our clients is that they know that they need to do things with data governance, but those have been very tough sells internally because they tend to be very expensive projects. What we've done with our framework with Oculus is take something that's already been sort of approved, expected in an annual risk assessment that companies have to do, organizations have to do for HIPAA and for meaningful use, and injected data governance principles into that. So it's sort of a soft entrance for data governance into an organization. And that's been really, really well received. It starts to orient an organization to data governance without it being a $500,000 project that you hear and you see, you know, organizations that are doing a lot of the webinars in this space right now. When you ask them the question, what's been your level of investment? You know, they say, this is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the shy. These are $250,000 to $500,000 investments if you're going to do them right, if you're going to see it through. So it takes a lot of veracity and commitment. The other things in the risk assessment space that I think that we have found is that there are lots of opportunities to improve our controls. And those controls, even small changes, incremental improvements in the IT security controls, whether they're physical, administrative, or technical, can make a huge difference in the performance of your program, in the confidence level that people have in not only the data that you have in your organization, but the protections that you're providing ultimately to your patients.
Just lay it on the line. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of gulps and a lot of fainted individuals when they get those investment numbers, but walk our audience who's listening through the risks of not doing that. What happens if you leave this stuff unprotected? What are the risks?
Well, listen, the threat landscape has changed dramatically, and we've seen that with all of the recent breaches, whether they've been the breaches in retail or the breaches in healthcare. We are both, you know, porous on the outside and soft in the middle in healthcare with respect to our protection. And so as retail and finance and telco have fortified themselves, healthcare becomes this very easy target. The other thing is, you know, when you look at this year's Ponemon study on data breach, the value, the per capita cost of a medical record, loss of a medical record, is $359. That's higher than any other industry. I think the next industry down in the study, I think, was education, and it was $250 and something. So our data is valuable. We have an incredibly rich set of information within our medical records. So the cost of protection are really, you know, reputational risk. They're real risk to your data assets and the integrity of your data system that put patient safety squarely at risk. That's one side. The other side is all of these aspirations that people have for their data, you know, just go poof, because it's not there. It's not reliable. It's not accessible. It's not available. It's been compromised. It's gone. It's disappeared. So everything that organizations are building toward, organizations large and small, they can't afford to suffer those kinds of breaches or compromises or losses when our data is really our most valued asset today, aside from our people. Our people, you know, hands down, the people that work in healthcare that are at the bedside, that are in the boardroom, are incredibly important. But data is the most valuable thing that we have outside of that.
Stephanie, is there a difference in approach or how people should think about it if they're an 80-bed hospital in the middle of Alabama versus the 900-pound gorilla in Birmingham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And there are definitely organizations that feel like we're too small. We can't go there. We can't do it. And we've worked in organizations where the data governance program is sort of one person. In a small organization, it's empowering and it's educating and it is activating one person who can be that steward, who can touch the organization in such a way to raise awareness and to make more data governance, data management principles operationalized. So it is absolutely accessible for everyone. I would say that our industry peers that are in this space, some of them have very highly constructed models, and you need to be able to sort of fit all of the pieces and parts into those models, and some of them scale better than others. But for us, it's always been about a model that will fit the organization and the belief that anybody and everybody, regardless of size, can begin to interject and introduce some of these principles into their organization.
Am I correct in thinking that this process, when I'm thinking about data governance and data protection, this isn't a one-time thing? You don't say, okay, I'm going to, in my to-do list in December, I'm going to get this thing licked and get all the software, all the solutions, and boom, check, then I can move on to other tasks. This is a constantly evolving issue, right? I mean, threats continue to change as the technology changes, as we get more and more data and more complicated kind of data. This is an ongoing thing, right? This requires 24/7 attention.
It really does. Data has a life cycle. And one of the things that I think that we've heard across the conference in the last couple of days, too, is one of the things that we're not terribly good at is destroying data that we don't need anymore.
Hmm.
And so we have a propensity to hoard data in healthcare for the rainy day. When we're able to buy that technology, when we're able to get to that initiative, when we get sponsorship for this, that, or the other, by golly, we have to have the data on hand. And it was fantastic to hear the CMIO panel yesterday, because I don't know if it was Dr. Showalter or I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, we're finally at a place where, you know, we realized that as we were trying to tackle different problems and we came across these old ancient legacy data sets, we just didn't need them anymore. And all they did was create risk in our environment because it was EPHI. And so to get into that mindset that, yes, it is a constant process. Data has a life cycle. We need to begin to classify and categorize those assets. We need to help organizations ask the right questions so that we can go find the right data. You know, data governance is about purpose-driven data. And so once you continue to expand that universe of purposes, then you get to have more data under management. You also, along that way, find that some of this data is just not something we need to hang on to, and you get to reduce that risk footprint. So they're absolutely related from a data protection and data governance perspective. And what we've also done at Immersive is introduce some of these managed services, lifecycle kind of management programs around compliance and enforcement and data maturity and data readiness, so that what we can do is teach our clients about these life cycles. We don't necessarily want to be joined at the hip to them forever, but if by introducing a framework and a lifecycle managed service model that helps bring them up and shore them up in terms of their skills and processes, that's a tremendous opportunity, not only for us, but for them. And there's nothing better as a consultant than really to be able to hand the baton back to the client and knowing that your work, in some respects, is done, that you've empowered them to do some of those things on their own. You've raised their knowledge base and their confidence, and then you get to go on and do those next level of things that you get to then hopefully bring back to them in the future. So that's a little bit of our value set also, and how this ties into being in a life cycle management sort of space like data management like we are. It's really important that we are attentive to not only the small get it started proof of concept, help our clients find those early successes and little wins, but it's also about operationalizing and franchising, institutionalizing the culture of data and the culture of innovation that comes with data that we're able to do. And then it's the most beautiful thing when you see them sailing on their own.
Stephanie, it's dawning on me as we talk, we're having this high level talk, that there's this whole layer of technology and standards and healthcare principles that are standing between that and the average patient in being able to even understand what the heck we're talking about. Because it's really a very technical conversation we're having. How would you explain what Immersive does and the value you're bringing to the average patient, you know, and how you really make a great impact on their participation in the healthcare environment?
That's an awesome question, too. So the first thing I would say to patients and communities of healthcare consumers is we respect your healthcare information, first and foremost. And as a consultancy, what we try to do is make sure that every single organization that has your data has, and every single individual in that organization that touches your data has the respect for it that they would have for their own. And they safeguard it and they care for it and they nurture it and they document with the same kind of attention to detail and careful concern and thoughtfulness as they would if it was their own family member or themselves. With that starting point, establishing what we do to help our clients really appreciate and honor that data is then help them put in the structures and the processes to make sure that that data is well cared for, that it gets to where it needs to be so that you as a patient have a very seamless care experience from one provider to another, and that your data is always under a management and oversight kind of program to where it is safeguarded, it is protected, and it is kept at the ready, not only for everybody in your provider community that needs to have it, but hopefully in the not too distant future, everybody in your caregiver community can have it as well, and you have it as well. And that's sort of the data integration, the connectivity, the protection, the data management practices and expertise that we're bringing to the healthcare industry to make those things possible for a patient and their caregiver community.
Fabulous.
We've talked about governance and protection. We've obviously touched on it through the duration of the broadcast, but data quality, why is that something we also need to be paying close attention to?
Right. So, you know, we had the great privilege of presenting here, my partner Dan Rounds and Brian Bishop from the information services team at UAB Health System on a data quality initiative that we've done with them and around their provider data. And the crux of anything that we do with analytics, right, is going to be around trusted, secure data. That trust factor with the data is going to come from people believing that the data elements themselves are correct, and then the analytics that come from that data are correct. And so data quality is of just consummate importance in order to have and cultivate the trust that is fundamental and paramount to all of the analytics activities that are taking place. And according to the Data Governance Institute, 20% of the data that we create in our systems is unusable because of data quality issues. That's a staggering amount.
I throw in a good example? Because I think, again, we're talking at high levels. I've come across in a couple of projects where doctors were cutting and pasting, right? So here's a problem of data quality.
Right.
If a doctor just happens to be copying and pasting into charts, bad information gets in a chart. So my mother was rushed to the hospital in September, and in her chart, which I had to go through all kind of reminiscence to get while she was still in the hospital. It had said, Mrs. Lavelle is still incoherent from her brain surgery. My mother didn't have a brain surgery. She had chemo 2 years ago and had no hair, and she's in her 80s, so she's had the result of lots of healthcare. But this doctor obviously cut and paste from someone else's record.
Right.
And bad. So here's a great example of a process that someone's following. It's probably not the standard process that was taught by the health system that creates some data problems for an organization. Right. Are these the kind of things that immersive helps find, identify, and rid health systems from?
There's no doubt that the quality challenges are all over the place. The things that I think are the low-hanging fruit, the things that we see most of today, are things like duplication and normalization of information, cleansing of some of the more obvious mistakes, things like gender is male, but the diagnosis is, you know, pregnancy, things like that, that are, you know, very, very easy to see. The beautiful thing is the technologies are getting so good at helping us cleanse our data and improve the quality of our data in just at warp speed. So getting down to that individual record, I think, is really a shared responsibility. We certainly have it. There's case management, utilization review. Those things that happen within the physician practice or within the hospital setting are important. But the other piece of this, and the real important piece of this, is as now the data becomes more ubiquitous and we start to really understand that the data is the patient's, not ours, that the consumer is more involved and has the opportunity to review their information. And this is something that is incredibly rare. We are not good at giving up the totality of the record. We are not good at letting patients see the notes that we've written. And the reality is, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be practicing. And so I can tell you, back in the day when I was a social worker, there were things that were redacted that should have never been redacted before a record was handed over to a patient or family. And so, you know, we are way, way past that era now. I hope that we get to a place where in our work, we are able to be that granular. But I think there's so much that we can do at a couple of higher levels up. But I absolutely encourage, through the education that we do and the work that we do and as we touch clients, to reframe that conversation with patients and caregivers that they're having around the information. It should be collaborative. It should be transparent. And that way, we have many sets of eyes on that data set to ensure its integrity before it goes on into the rest of the healthcare food chain, whether that's the medical neighborhood, the HIE, wherever else it might go.
All right. Well, Stephanie, it breaks my heart, but we're running low on time. This has been an unbelievable conversation. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Immersive?
Sure. Thanks so much, Todd. So we'd love to have folks come and visit us on our website, which is www.immersivellc.com. We host a series of webinars. They're always free. And so we'd love to have folks, you know, learn more about us, but more importantly, get some insight into the things that we care about, the things that we love, the things that we're passionate about, and our clients in those webinars. And then we also are doing regional workshops around the country. So I had the great pleasure of being here at LSU at Baton Rouge a couple of weeks ago, going on to the University of Utah Health System to do a data protection workshop next week. So we invite organizations to host us at no cost, and we'll bring those workshop programs there for their staff, but also invitees in the community if they want to expand that out to include their physician practices, business associates, and others as well on, you know, all these topics that we're doing in data management.
Outstanding. Stephanie Crabb, a principal with Immersive. Great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by and joining us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy holiday season.
And same to you. All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Stephanie Crabb, my co-host, Joe Lavelle, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Healthcare.